Hey everyone, Michael again. Welcome back into the Teaching Through Proverbs. We are going into Proverbs 25, this teaching, and I'm excited to jump into this again. As always, I really believe that God's Word, when it is taught through, the Bible says that His Word never returns void. And I really believe that if we take time to really slow down our lives and think about what God is trying to tell us, it can help us make decisions that are wise. Now, you may be watching this or listening to this. Maybe you've stumbled on this and you're just running at a pace where you're just looking for get rich quick schemes or all these other things that are out there today. That's not what this is. This has been a teaching. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. This is a teaching through Proverbs, which is God's Word, the oldest book, one of the oldest books around, the most best-selling book ever. And it's designed to help walk through what the Bible is telling us and share some thoughts around it. Now, you may choose in your own mind to believe in God's Word. You may believe that this is God's Word and that it's truth. You may choose to not believe in God's Word and that this is truth. Either way, I want to invite you on this journey with us. I want to invite you to take notes. I want to invite you to grab your own Bible, get a copy, get serious about this kind of whole thing of God, who He is, and the fact that He's got wisdom for our lives. Proverbs is a book that walks us through that. So let's have a word of prayer as we get rolling. God, I just want to thank You so much for the time that we can spend together. I pray, Lord, that whether there are folks that are listening to this or watching this independently or in groups, if they've gotten people together to encourage themselves with other friends to kind of talk through this, I just ask that You would use, Lord, this word, Your word, really, to encourage the hearts of many that are listening and watching this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 25, starting in verse 1, it says, "These are more proverbs of Solomon collected by the advisors of King Hezekiah of Judah." So there it tells you where these are coming from. These are coming from Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived. Verse 2, "It is God's privilege to conceal things in the king's privilege to discover them." That gives you a little bit of an idea of what rulers are meant to do on this earth. I love the idea, if you think about it. If you look at the founding fathers of America, right, in particularly, you'll notice that a lot of the documents and a lot of the things that were written have a lot of scripture in it. Principles that come from our society have come from scripture, God's word. Now, there's culture today and a design today and a desire today for many out there that want to change that. They want to get rid of the things of God in our culture, but that's where it started. That's where it came from. And I don't think it's any coincidence, if you think about it, that America was the fastest growing, prosperous, most prosperous country that ever existed on the planet. And yet it was also the same country that was founded on godly principles. Now, recently, we've seen the deterioration. When I say recently, I'm talking about the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years. We've seen, in some ways, the deterioration of America. And we've also, at the same time, just think about this, we've seen the desire for the leaders that be to lead and change things away from the things of God. I'll let you dwell on that in your own mind, as far as whether or not that's coincidence or not. The fact that America was the fastest growing, youngest country ever, built on godly principles, and now we're starting to deteriorate, and there's a desire to get rid of the things of God. Interesting. Verse 2 again, "It is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them." Verse 3, "No one can comprehend the heights of heaven or depth of the earth or all that goes into the king's mind. Remove the impurities from silver, and the sterling will be ready for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's court, and his reign will be made secure by justice." It's an analogy of, obviously, pure silver is more valuable. And we are in a need in our world today to have those that are leading to have impurity removed. In many ways, we have leaders that are wicked and they're selfish, and we need to have impurities removed from leadership positions in our world, in our country. Verse 6, don't demand an audience with the king or push for a place among the great. It's better to wait for an invitation to the head of the table than to be sent away in public disgrace just because you've seen something. Don't be in a hurry to go to court. Just because you've seen something, don't be in a hurry to go to court. All right? For what will you do in the end if your neighbor deals you as a shameful defeat? In other words, you could basically make yourself look like a fool. Like, make sure you slow down, evaluate, and say, what is the best course of action if you see something happening? Don't just rush to court. Think about it. Think about what's happened. You know, take some time to think and pay attention. Maybe get counsel as far as from a friend on that, so to speak. Verse 9, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. Remember the old story of the boy that cried wolf? Hey, and then all of a sudden nobody believed him. And then the wolf actually came and he was in trouble. It's kind of the same idea. Like, speak the truth and don't just say things to say them. Verse 11, timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. To one who listens, valid criticism is like gold earring or gold jewelry. Remember, valid criticism, constructive criticism. It's important. It's valuable. Trustworthy messengers refresh like snow in summer. They revive the spirit of their employer. A person who promises a gift but doesn't give it is like clouds and wind that brings no rain. It's kind of like, hey, the clouds are coming in, but it doesn't rain. Okay? So don't promise and not deliver. That's the point here. If you're going to say you're going to do something, do it. Be a person, man, woman, be a person of your word. If you don't think you can do it, don't say you can do it. Great, great kind of lesson to live by. I wasn't always that way, by the way. There's a lot of times before I would do things and then say things and then not do them, say them and not do them. I remember when I was younger and we were newly married, my wife used to always say to me, she's like, don't tell me you're going to do it, just do it. That drove me nuts. But it actually helped me along the way because it helped me say, you know what, okay, I'm going to stop telling her I'm going to do stuff and I'm just going to do it and then she'll see that it's been done. And it was a good thing. Verse 15, patience can persuade a prince and soft speech can break bones. Do you like honey? Don't eat too much or it'll make you sick. It's like Reese's Pieces. I love Reese's Pieces. But if I eat too much, that's a problem, right? Verse 17, I actually highlighted this one. Don't visit your neighbors too often or you will wear out your welcome. You ever think about that? You're just showing up every day. Hey, what's shaking? Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's happening? You know, everybody's like, man, I got stuff going on. Please, just, you mind just stay at your house today, right? So just good lessons to live by. Don't visit your neighbors too often or you'll wear out your welcome. 18, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Remember, it goes back to what we've talked about in previous chapters of Proverbs, previous teachings, where we talked about the idea of that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never harm me. And lies about others are words that will harm. It's as harmful as hitting with an axe, the Bible says, wounding them with a sword or shooting them with a sharp arrow. In other words, don't do that. Don't tell lies about other people. Keep those things just away from you. Don't do that. Verse 19, putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth or walking on a lame foot. That's important. You know, and the reason that's so big, verse 19, putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth or walking in a lame foot. Obviously, it's not going to work out well for you if you're chewing with a broken tooth or walking with a lame foot. What it's saying here is be careful who you put your confidence and trust in. Be careful who you ask for help. And I think, you know, we don't know when times of trouble in our life are going to come. Like, neither you nor I can plan that unless we just go out and actively make dumb decisions on the regular. We can't prepare for troubling times, but they do happen. And this is why I think the old idea of kind of preparing in advance, and we've read this in other Proverbs, prepare in advance, be prudent, make good decisions. This goes to the idea of really understanding who you're connecting with, associating with, your friends. The goal here is to gather yourself quality friendships, quality people that are interacting in your life, so that way when times of trouble do come, you can reach out to them. You can text them or call them, communicate with them, and they'll be reliable. They'll be there to help you. It's important. Verse 20, singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather or pouring vinegar in a wound. In other words, somebody with just a heavy heart, sometimes they're just not receiving it. You know, they're just not receiving the cheerful song. They're not ready for it, maybe. Maybe sometimes all you can do with that person is just pray for them. God, just be with them, heal them, wrap your arms around them, right? If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. Boy, that's countercultural, isn't it? The world's not going to tell you to take care of your enemies, but this is what God's word says. And listen to what it says. If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. You will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. How about that? They'll be like, gosh, who are these people? Why are they so nice to me? Like, why are they acting this way? It doesn't make sense. I don't deserve it. At some point in time, common sense, that internal compass that God placed in all of us may kick in. And here's what it says. And it says, the Lord will reward you. And that's what we need and want in life, God's reward, not others. Verse 23, as surely as the north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. It is better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife and a lonely home. This is now the third time in the last couple chapters that Solomon has talked about this. So he must maybe have had some experience with quarrelsome wives. And he said, don't do that. It's bad news. Verse 25, good news from far away is like cold water to the thirsty. In other words, it's refreshing. Good news is refreshing. And I was thinking about this as I read this. I highlighted this verse because I was thinking about this and I thought to myself, my prayer, my hope in a lot of ways is that, you know, this teaching, whether you're listening via podcast or watching on YouTube or Rumble or whatever, my prayer is that this would be like a cold water to the thirsty. Those of you that are out there that are thirsty for truth, that are thirsty for what does God's word say? This isn't me writing a book and then reading to you my book. This is me reading to you the book that was written and inspired by God, the creator of everything. It's truth that we can count on. And so my desire is just to go through it with you and really join me in the journey. That's why I appreciate your comments and feedback and just, you know, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I've learned. Here's what some of the folks in the group that I'm leading as we're going through this are saying, have said. Like, that helps us know, like, where God is leading and what God's doing there as well. Verse 26, if the godly give in to the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring. It is not good to eat too much honey, and it's not good to seek honors for yourself. In other words, let other people praise you. I didn't always do that in life. You know, in life, sometimes it was like, hey, look at me. And that doesn't mean that you don't do videos like I do on my Instagram account at Real Michael D. Wall. I do a lot of selfie videos and just conversations as maybe God's laying something on my heart, trying to encourage and challenge other people. And that's not what that means per se. It's the idea of like, don't be like, hey, I'm amazing. I'm the best. Look how good I am. That was pretty good, wasn't it? No, let others praise you. Let others praise you. Verse 28 in the last verse, a person without self-control. I've highlighted this one again. A person without self-control, a person without, not with, but a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now you may say, Why did Solomon use the analogy of a person without self-control and liken it to a city with broken down walls? Well, if you are trying to take over a city, would you rather take over a city that had walls that were broken down, or would you rather take over a city that had walls that are fortified and strong and it was really hard to get through? Obviously, the answer is a city with broken down walls. And so when you in your life, when I in my life, when we in our life are acting without self-control, meaning we do something that's dumb and we're like, whoa, time out. Nope, I don't want to keep doing that action. I'm going to stop that there, right? That was not smart. That was not acting with wisdom. And that doesn't mean that you're walking on eggshells. That's not what this is either. You're not perfect, okay? You're going to live life and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. So am I. What this is, it's the idea of saying, okay, without self-control is somebody that's just not even mindful of consequences that they could come in contact with by making dumb decisions. Like taking your bank account and deciding that you're going to spend all of it in Vegas, even though you have your mortgage due next month. Like, that's someone without self-control. That's not smart. That's not wise. Don't do that. Try and prepare and make good decisions so that way the world doesn't come into your life and rob you of the things that you have in a lot of ways, if you think about it, right? So exercise self-control in your life. Get good friends in your life that you can trust in and rely on. And it's so important that you think about what that looks like as far as helping and having people, putting confidence in unreliable person in times of trouble. You want to find reliable people, verse 19, reliable people in times of trouble. So start to build that now. Who in your life is reliable? Here's a little takeaway again. Who in your life is reliable that you know you can trust, that you can count on, and that when you ask them a question, they're going to genuinely and honestly give you an answer that you believe and you know is in your best interest. So important. All right, listen, be blessed. Have a good one. And make sure to share this with someone that needs to hear it. We appreciate you dialing in, tuning in, and we'll talk to you Proverbs 26. Okay? Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.